Some people believe that discontentment has never been a bigger problem in the history of the world than it is today. We're living in a time when people have more things than they've ever had before, and yet people have never been less satisfied with what they have. And if you agree with that statement and you're on Twitter, you can help me preach today. You can share that post. I'm gonna get a little involved in social media this morning. We're living in a time when people have more things than ever before, yet people have never been less satisfied with what they have. And the reason I'm using a little bit of social media today is because social media is a big part of the problem. I'm not against social media. I think it's a great platform for sharing Jesus with people. But at the same time, it's also fueling this epidemic of discontentment in our culture today. Why? Because we spend all day and all night looking at what other people have and what other people are doing and how many friends they have and how many followers they have and how many people like their post. And we end up comparing ourselves to all these other people all the time. Your friend on Facebook posts a picture of the steak and lobster that they're having for dinner, and you look down at your oodles of noodles and just shake your head in shame. Then there's the guy on Facebook who posts a selfie of himself at the gym, and he's showing off all of his muscles, and you're sitting there at home trying to keep Krispy Kreme out of bankruptcy. Amen. And when you compare yourself to him, you feel bad about yourself. And it's never been easier to measure popularity than it is today. When I was growing up, when I was in school, you know, we would just kind of speculate how many friends we have. You know, I think I'm popular. I might be unpopular. I don't really know. It's all just a kind of guesswork. But there's no guessing involved anymore because you can go online and see how many friends somebody has. Well, she has 300 friends, and I only have 5 friends, so I'm just not popular. He has 400 followers on Twitter. I got 50. He's 8 times more popular than I am. When they post something about their life, 112 people like it. I post something about my life and 2 people like it, so nobody really likes me. And it's all a bunch of superficial nonsense. Researchers did studies at 2 different universities, and they had students, different groups of students, spend 30 minutes on Facebook. That was the whole study. They sat down for half an hour on Facebook, and the study found that 30% of these college students experienced feelings of deep depression after only half an hour on social media. And the problem is that we compare ourselves to other people. The more you compare yourself with other people, the less satisfied you will become. And this isn't just happening on social media, it's happening in the real world too. In case you are wondering, there is a real world, not just the social media world. Maybe it's your friend that's always going to the beach. She's been to Atlantic Beach 10 times this year and you can't even go to Busco Beach. Or maybe it's that couple that they seem to have the perfect kids and you just have the other kind of kids. Or they have the perfect marriage, and it seems like they never argue, and he took her to France on their anniversary, but your husband took you to Fremont. You see, the more you compare yourself to other people's lives, the less satisfied you'll become with your own life. And I'm going to take a survey. I'm going to ask you to be real honest this morning. This is a safe zone, okay? You can be open with us today. If you've ever compared yourself to other people and become discontent, just raise your hand this morning. For those of you who aren't raising your hand, you need to compare yourself to those who are raising their hand today. Come on, listen, we've all been guilty of that. We've all done it. Some of you have already done it today. We've all been guilty of looking at other people and thinking, wow, they're better than me. But the truth is, when you look at another person and you say, that person is better than me, what you're really saying is when God made me, God made a mistake. Come on. Now, we know that God does not make mistakes. In fact, I can tell you, when God made you, he was not mistaken. He did not mess up. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's masterpiece, and he created you to be you. And you'll never be happy trying to be anybody else. That's why you don't see me trying to wear skinny jeans this morning. I won't be happy trying to be anybody, and you won't either sitting here looking at me. You'll never be happy trying to be anybody else. And here's the truth about comparisons. If you knew the real them, you wouldn't feel so bad about yourself. If you knew the full story, you wouldn't feel so discouraged, okay? When they walked in the door, it looked like they had perfect kids. But what you don't know is that they beat them all the way to church this morning. Things are not always as they appear. Your friend that goes to the beach once a month, what she didn't tell you is that she was going to meet with her parole officer. People try to paint a perfect picture for everybody else to see, but in reality, they're just as messed up as everybody else. The problem with comparing ourselves to other people is that we compare our whole life to their highlight reel. When you look on Facebook and you look on Twitter and you just meet somebody in passing, they're presenting their absolute best. So you're comparing your whole life, the good and the bad, to the very best highlight reel that they can advertise in front of you. We compare all of our mistakes to the image of perfection that they convey. And this morning, I'm giving you permission to stop comparing yourself to other people. Just stop doing it. I'm going to set you free this morning. Stop comparing yourself to other people. God only made one you, and you'll never be happy trying to be anybody else. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you be you,
you, be you.
And I'll be me.
I'll be
and we'll get on with the Trinity. Somebody once said, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% how you respond. But most of us, we live our lives like the opposite is true. We live our life like life is 90% of what happens to us, and we have very little control over how we respond to those things. And this morning, in our main passage of Scripture, I want you to see how the Apostle Paul responded to what happened to him in his life. Here in Philippians chapter 4, we learn how he responded to things that were done to him, because when Paul wrote this, he was not on top of the world. He was bound in chains. He was under arrest, chained to a Roman guard. He did not have the freedom that you and I are enjoying this morning. He was not in the most comfortable of places. He was not sitting in the heating and air conditioning like we are today. But let's examine his attitude towards his circumstances. Philippians 4:12, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed, hallelujah, or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. Did you catch that? He said, I learned the secret of being content. And here's the secret. Verse 13, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. You see, the secret to contentment is not found in what you have or what you don't have. The secret of contentment is found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is the secret of contentment. It's not what you have, it's who you know. You want to find the power of contentment? You let everything stripped away and still hold on to Jesus. Because you can hold on to Jesus even when everything else is removed from your life. They can take the whole world from you, but they can't take Jesus from you. You can hold to the unchanging hand of God. And when your soul is satisfied in Jesus Christ, stuff will come and go. Money will come and go. People will come and go. But you'll be okay because nobody satisfies like Jesus. He's our anchor in the storm. He's our rock in this unstable world. He's our peace in the midst of chaos. The Bible tells us that Jesus gives us the peace that passes all understanding. It means that as a child of God, you can have peace that doesn't make any sense to anybody else. You can be in a situation where other people are going crazy, where they're losing their mind. They say, I don't understand how you can have a smile on your face, but that's because God has given you the peace that passes all understanding. Because Jesus is the one who satisfies your soul. Jesus is the one who gives strength like no other. He's the one who will pick you up when you get knocked down, who will call you by name and tell you you still have a future. Paul said, I found the secret of contentment. I can do anything as long as I have Jesus. Sometimes we don't understand that Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we have. But you can search and search and search and make all the money you can possibly make and get all the stuff you can get and win all the approval from people and do everything you ever wanted to do. But until you experience the goodness of Jesus, you will never be satisfied. There is a longing deep within every human heart that only Jesus can fill. And you can try to fill it with material things all you want, but it will never be enough. Nothing can take the place of Jesus. Until you let Jesus be all that you need, you'll always battle with discontentment. So this morning, I want to quickly give you three things that you can do today to cultivate contentment in your life. Three things. Are you ready this morning? Number one, thank God for what you have. Come on, say that. Thank God for what you have. That's step one to contentment. Thank God for what you have. And you might be thinking, well, I don't really have a lot. And that's your first problem. Because you have more than you think you have. Think about this. 1.6 billion people are living without electricity right now, have never had electricity, and will likely never have electricity. If you have indoor plumbing that works, you're better off than half of the people on earth. So next time you're sitting on the toilet feeling sorry for yourself, thank God that you have a toilet to sit on, amen? How you like me now? 80% of the world's population lives off less than $10 a day. So if you make more than $70 in a week, you're in the top 20% of the richest people on earth. You have more than you think you have. Come on, tell somebody, I'm blessed. If you're ever going to find contentment in Jesus, you have to first thank God for what you have. Because we all have a lot to be thankful for if we would just open up our eyes to see the blessing of God. I talked about this last week, but the advertising industry has trained us to be ungrateful. They spend $450 billion every year to make you unhappy with what you have, with how you look, and with what you do. At its core, most advertising tries to make us ungrateful for what we have. But we as children of God cannot believe the lie. We cannot live that way. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Amen. Be content with what you have because God is with you and he'll never leave you. And when you've got God, you've got it all. Amen. Let me put point number one in the form of a challenge. Okay, here's my first challenge to you today. Spend less time thinking about what you don't have and spend more time thanking God for what you do have. Spend less time thinking about what you don't have and spend more time thanking God for what you do have. Complain less about your circumstance so you can thank God in your circumstance. I read an interesting statistic this week. The average man speaks 7,000 words in a day. The average man says 7,000 words and he's done. That's why I go to sleep when church is out on Sunday morning. I've said my 7,000 words. I'm not going to talk anymore today. But on average, men speak 7,000 words a day, but the average woman says 20,000 words a day. That explains a lot, doesn't it? Don't give a CD to my wife. The average woman speaks 20,000 words a day. So whether you're a 7,000 worder or a 20,000 worder, either way, you only get but so many words in one day. You have a limited number of words every day, so why waste them complaining? The Bible says that we'll give an account to God for every unfruitful word that we speak, so use your words wisely. Here's my advice. Before you complain about it, think about it. Before you complain about it, think about it. I know we're in the South and people are listening online. That's T-H-A-N-K. Before you complain about it, think about it. You say, well, before you go complain and say, well, I don't have nice shoes, why don't you thank God you have feet? Hello. Instead of complain, find something to be grateful for. Instead of complaining, make up your mind. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to thank God for something in my life. And I promise you, it will change your life. Some of you, if you would get a hold of this, it would not only change you, it would change your wife, it would change your kids, it would change your family, it would change your neighborhood, it would change your workplace, it would change all your friends. Because some of you are so negative, you make Charlie Brown look like Joel Osteen. Next time you go to complain, stop and find a reason to thank God instead. Before you complain about it, think about it. All right, number one, thank God for what you have. Number two, honor God with what you have. What are you doing with the blessings of God in your life right now? Are you honoring God with what you presently have? If you want to be content, honor God with what you have. If what you have doesn't honor God, then maybe it doesn't need to be in your life. Honor God with what you have. Being content is more than just lip service. It's more than just saying, thank you, God. It's about honoring God in the way you handle and manage those blessings that He's given you. You say, well, I thank God that I'm alive, but are you taking care of your body? You say, I thank God for my home, but are you taking care of your house? What kind of atmosphere are you creating in that home? You say, I thank God for my TV, but what kind of garbage are you watching on that TV? You say, I thank God for my wife, but are you loving her as Christ loved the church? You see, it's good to thank God for what we have, but it's something special about honoring God with what we have. Psalm 37:16 says this, it's better to be godly and have little than to be evil and be rich. No matter how much you have, whether you have a lot or a little, honor God with all of it. Amen. And maybe you have a legitimate need in your life. And this is what I found when the Holy Spirit has brought conviction to me in my own life. Sometimes the key to getting your next breakthrough is thanking God for the last breakthrough He did in your life. Maybe you're believing God for a new car, but have you even thanked Him for the last car He gave you? Honor God with what you have. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So we honor God with what? With our possessions and with the first fruits of our increase. Now, if you've been around here for a while, you know that the first fruits is the tithe. That's where we bring the first 10% of what God gives us and we give it back to Him to honor Him with it. People say, I've heard people tell me, Pastor, I can't tithe right now, but pray that God would bless me so I can tithe. All right, time out. So what you're telling me is that you want me to pray and ask God to bless somebody who is stealing from Him. Well, that's a harsh thing to say. Well, I don't say that. The Bible says that. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Listen, I know y'all came here to hear a happy little, cute little Thanksgiving message. You pat the pastor on the head on the way out and say, Lord bless you. But I know you want me to tell you, you can have whatever you want, but I love you, I really do, but I don't care about what you want. I care about what you're doing with what you have. And some of you are living under a curse because you're not honoring God with what you have. And I pray that you're listening with an open heart today. And listen, there's a reason we went ahead and took up the offering. This is not a scam to get more money out of your pockets. I want to tell you what the truth of the Word of God says so you can live under the blessings of God. Amen. If you're not honoring God with what you have, it doesn't matter how much more you get. It will never be enough. My wife and I, we made a commitment from day one that we were going to honor God with our tithes. And there have been times when we've made a lot of money and we honored God with our tithes. And then there's been times when God called us in a different season of ministry and we made a little bit of money every now and then. But we still honored God with the tithes. And this is what we found. When we had a lot of money, God blessed us. When we had a little bit of money, God still blessed us. And whether we had a lot or a little, we always had enough. But if you're not honoring God where you are now, you're not going to honor Him when you have more. And when you have more, it will never be enough to meet the needs in your life. I'm going to hurry up this morning. How many of you have ever heard the scripture, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus"? Y'all have heard that scripture? We love that scripture and we quote that scripture, but did you know that that's found right here in Philippians chapter 4 in the letter that the apostle Paul wrote? I want to read that whole passage to you really quickly, starting in verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent to you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." A lot of people quote that verse and they have no idea what the context is. Paul is talking to people who support the work of the ministry. And he's telling them, God will supply all of your needs because you give to support the kingdom of God. And if you're not honoring God by supporting the work of ministry, if you're not honoring God with your possessions, that verse doesn't apply to you. Put that on Twitter. Come on, we want all the blessings of God, but we don't want to pay the price. I know it sounds tough, but let me put this in perspective. Let me quickly get to a positive note here. I recently read an article in Relevant Magazine about tithing. And it cited research on Christianity in America. 80% of Americans claim to be Christians, yet but less than 5% actually tithe. And in this article, it posed the question, what if every Christian in the United States tithe? And I want you to listen to these statistics. They blew my mind. If every Christian in America tithe, if they gave 10% of their income to the ministry based on per capita income, there would be an increase of $165 billion in donations to ministries across America. And listen to this. Here are just a few things that the church could do with that increase in giving. We could use $25 billion to completely eradicate starvation, global starvation from hunger, and eliminate every preventable disease in just 5 years. Hunger is the number one cause of death worldwide. And if we would just tithe, if the church in just the United States, I'm not talking about Europe, Africa, Asia, Canada, South America, if just Christians in the United States would pay their tithes, we could end global hunger and deaths from preventable diseases in just 5 years. $15 billion could solve the world's water and sanitation issues. Specifically in places where 1 billion people live on less than $1 a day. $12 billion could eliminate global illiteracy in 5 years. $1 billion could fully fund every missionary, every global missionary around the world. And we would still have $110 billion left over for ministry here in the United States. That doesn't even touch what we could change here at home. Listen, we could put the public school systems out of business Forget trying to bring Christianity into the schools. Let's bring America into Christianity. We could offer free Christian public education for every child in this country and do a better job than the government does. It's incredible to think about the things we could do if every believer would simply honor God with their possessions and with their first fruits. 2 million children will die of starvation this year. And we could stop that. But you can't afford to tithe. Number one, thank God for what you have. Number two, honor God with what you have. Number three, share what you have. Amen. Wait a minute, Pastor. You telling me that I need to tithe and give 10% of my income to the church and give some of my stuff to help other people? That's exactly what I'm saying. I know I'm not going to win the Pastor of the Year award for this Thanksgiving message. And I wanted to give you a happy message today, but I got to obey what God told me to speak. This is how you can be content in all circumstances. Thank God for what you have. Honor God with what you have. And share what you have with those who don't. Amen. And if you can learn to do those three things, you'll come to understand what Paul said when he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Will you stand with me for a moment as we get ready to come to a close this morning? Let's just take a moment of prayer and just seeking God today before we move on to the next part of the service. I know I've given you some challenges, and I know today's message has been tough, but this is my final challenge to you this morning. I challenge you in this Thanksgiving season to take some of what you do have and share it with those who don't have. And this is really easy to do right now because so many people are in need right here in our community, right here in our city. Take some of what you have because God has blessed us. We all have a lot. Take some of what you do have and share it with those who don't have. Whether it's making a meal for this Wednesday night or making phone calls, just inviting people to come, or volunteering with Christ in Action, or taking clothes and furniture to Harvest Fellowship downtown. Take some of what you do have and share it with those who don't have. Amen. Acts 20:35 tells us we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this Thanksgiving, let's do the thanks, but don't forget the giving. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your abundant blessings on us. And God, we thank you that you have blessed us to be a blessing. And God, it's my prayer, Lord, that you would just open up every one of our hearts. God, that we would all be able to see how much you've blessed us. And not only would we recognize the blessings of God in our own lives, but God, open up our eyes to see the great needs in the lives of others. And God, give us the faith and the boldness in you, God, to take some of what we have and to share it with those who don't have. God, I pray for those who are here this morning and they're not honoring you with tithes and offerings. God, I pray that you would give them the grace, God, to make up their mind, to resolve in their spirit from this day forward. I'm going to honor God. And Lord, give them the faith in you to know that you will sustain them and you will keep them and that you can do more with 90% than they could have ever done with 100% because you are faithful to your word. And it's not about how much money we have in the bank. It's about the God we serve. And Lord, we thank you that even when we have a little bit and even when we have a lot, you're still the provider. You're still the source. And Father, help us. Give us a heart of compassion. God, break our hearts, Lord, for those who are hurting in this community. God, speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Lead us and direct us. God, if there are things that we have that somebody needs, if there are resources that we have that somebody is lacking, God, help us, direct us, Lord, to give to them in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you that you are so wonderful. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you that we have the opportunity as children of God, living in the most prosperous nation on earth, that we have the opportunity to change this whole world for the glory of God. Father, I thank you. Come on, just begin to thank him for a moment for the blessings that he's given you. Time and time again, God has been faithful. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings, God, everything that you've given us, everything you've done. Lord, we say thank you. Lord, you've always provided as a loving father, and we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Come on, just lift your hands and thank him for a moment today. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Come on, let's sing that again. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've been mighty good to us, and we say thank you this morning. Lord, thank you for every blessing. God, for every breakthrough. God, for every need that you've supplied. We say thank you this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Pastor Chris to come at this time.